Hello and welcome to Global Research Unlocked, where we discuss what's rising from growth industries to rising risks and opportunities in global markets. I'm TJ Thornton, Head of Product Marketing at BofA Global Research, and we're recording this episode on Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024.
For the S&P 500 alone, our analysts expect $65 billion a year of cost savings within a few years due to AI implementation. Globally, that's likely over $100 billion a year. And that's not even considering new products. Looking at those numbers, it helps put the tens of billions of dollars that are being invested for AI infrastructure into perspective.
Mass AI excitement has been underway for about a year and a half now. It's significantly boosted earnings for a number of companies, especially a few in the semiconductor space. And though it's still very early, we haven't yet seen much impact on software earnings or on economic productivity. With us today to discuss where we are in that next phase of impact is Alkesh Shah, Head of U.S. Software Research at BofA Global Research. Thank you, Alkesh, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, TJ.
Alkesh, can you help set the stage? AI isn't exactly new. It began about 80 years ago. So why now? What factors catalyzed the emergence of the newest AI wave? And how do the newest AI models and apps differ from those in the past?
That's right. AI isn't new, but the newest wave, generative AI or Gen AI, is a major change. So let's take a step back. Over the last 50 years, there have been three transformative technology waves. The first was in computers. Computers were a niche industry used only by a well-trained few, but in the 70s, the microprocessor was created, and that democratized access to computing power, meaning that everyone could get and use a computer, laptop, iPad, or smartphone. Then the internet really started in the 70s, but again, was limited to only a few users who understood how to use specialized commands. It was only in the 90s that the browser was created, and that democratized access to information. AI started as algorithms for encrypted codes 80 years ago, but users were mainly data scientists. Generative AI, the technology that lets you access AI just by talking to it, this is the third major technology wave, and it's democratized intelligence so that everyone can use the massive computing power that's available and access the information of entire libraries and the internet to solve problems, create new products, and change virtually every facet of our lives the way computers and the internet have.
Now, Alkesh, there's so much optimism around potential AI disruption and benefits, but the functionality of AI tools is still somewhat limited. You've covered tech for decades. Hope that's not offensive to you. Consider that a measure of wisdom. But how does AI compare to past disruptive technologies, and where are we in the adoption cycle?
What's great is you could always learn from technology. That's always fun. Well, companies have used AI for years, but our view is that today's AI models are creating an evolution in corporate efficiency and productivity, similar to past tech waves like the personal computer and the internet. We're really early in this AI tech wave. The infrastructure for this new democratization of access to intelligence and insights is just getting built. New applications are created every week, and it's easy to forget that the newest AI apps were only launched in the last 15 months. Drawing a parallel to the internet, I'd say we're in 1995. At that point, investment was mainly to equipment and chip companies that were building the internet. But the dot-com companies hadn't even emerged yet, and non-tech companies were only beginning to think about how they'd use the internet. Most people couldn't imagine the applications and exceptional companies that would be created over the next 25 years. Applications such as search, social media, e-commerce, and so many more. Today, we don't think of the hundreds of times throughout the day we use the internet, from the clocks we use when we wake up to what we watch or listen to through streaming at the end of the day. Similarly, this next generation of AI will likely be part of virtually everything we do, and the applications across creativity, productivity, companionship, health, and wellness are just being created now, and so are those companies. And just as with the internet today, over the next several years, we will all likely begin to interact with and use AI-powered applications and tools without even necessarily realizing it over the next few years.
Alkesh, you conducted an interesting survey of 114 of our fundamental equity analyst colleagues on AI implications for the 3,500 stocks that we cover globally. What were some of the key findings from that survey, which I believe was conducted late last year?
Yep, exactly. We have a great research department, and we wanted to tap into that industry and company expertise. And the survey results were eye-opening. 94% of the companies our research department covers have an AI strategy, but most are only experimenting with this newest AI wave. Today, most companies are focused on using AI to cut costs, but over the long term, our analysts expect companies across all sectors will find ways to generate more revenue from current products and introduce new AI-based products. For the S&P 500 alone, our analysts expect $65 billion a year of cost savings within a few years due to AI implementation. Globally, that's likely over $100 billion a year, and that's not even considering new products. Looking at those numbers, it helps put the tens of billions of dollars that are being invested for AI infrastructure into perspective.
Okay, and Alkesh, let's shift to AI use cases. ChatGPT democratized access to powerful computer intelligence. And on day one, you could essentially use it, but that has not been the case for your average worker who can't necessarily utilize ChatGPT or AI to help them do their jobs. How should we think about or categorize AI applications and use cases, especially on the corporate side?
Yep, that's absolutely true, TJ. Corporate adoption is slower. Unlike consumer tech adoption, such as ChatGPT reaching 100 million users in just 2 months, or actually 1 million users in just 5 days, company adoption is slower because management teams need to weigh how much to invest, how to protect their data, if they have the right people with the right skill sets, and they need to ensure that a company remains compliant with all the legal and regulatory rules. We expect it'll take a few years for companies to embrace this democratized version of AI that puts intelligence and insight into the hands of everyone in the organization. And companies are likely to use different models as different use cases. Public models, who are trained on the internet and public data, are likely to be one type of model that gets used. But then private or specialized models that have been trained on companies' proprietary data are likely to be another type of model used. And that's going to take a little while to train and figure out. So initially, companies are likely to focus on cost cutting because that's the use case they've always known for AI. But over time, AI will likely be a co-pilot for everyone in an organization. And in some cases, AI will replace certain jobs, but also potentially create new ones.
Okay, and are enterprise AI applications already in production?
Sure, there are thousands of AI companies already. And the large software and cloud companies are already delivering AI applications. But these products are just beginning to touch on what AI will be able to do. AI apps are built on foundation models that are operating systems that power these apps. And these models are becoming more powerful with more computing power, storage, and data. And that makes the apps that are running on them smarter, faster, and over time, likely cheaper. There may also be many startups, just like the dot-coms, that will build themselves completely on an AI model. There was a time that it took a large investment to start a company. You had to buy computers, you had to put phone systems in, you had to hire a lot of people. In the future, using AI, there are likely to be companies that just have a handful of people, but build companies using AI in the cloud to tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of sales. And you just couldn't do this before.
Okay, and many of the AI benefits have accrued so far to companies making chips and servers that are used to train models. It's certainly shown up, not just in the multiples, but very much in the earnings for several of these companies in particular. Do you think that continues? And what types of companies are potential winners from here?
Semiconductors are the key enablers of the new AI infrastructure, as our semiconductor equity research team has discussed. And strong demand is likely to last for the next several years. You think about the models that are being built. The initial large language models that power all these AI applications are being built in the cloud companies. But now you're hearing about many developed countries that want to have their own models, which will also create demand. And then I'd mentioned those private specialized models that are going to be trained with proprietary data, which means that many very large companies will also probably have their own models. So that backs up that strong demand is likely to last for the next several years of the current chip and server companies. But outside of semis and servers, software companies that work with data and are cloud-based will likely have an advantage, as do the cloud companies, because the data is more easy to work with if it's in one place, meaning the cloud. And those cloud companies are providing easy access to the tools so that every industry can get up and running and a company in an industry doesn't have to spend all this money building these large models that cost tens of billions of dollars to power these AI applications. And so that's what we're really seeing, is we're seeing that demand continue for the semis and servers, but now we're beginning to see the demand for applications that actually can work with the data.
Okay, Alkesh, you cover AI, but you're actually the head of US software research. I'm curious to know how software spending and consumption is trending outside of AI. And then also, is the spending that's taking place on AI crowding out other areas of software spend?
Despite all the popular interests, companies are moving slow to invest and roll out AI. So let's take a step back. How are companies dealing with stuff right now? There's a significant amount of tech spend during COVID as companies adapted to remote work, security, et cetera. Now, tech spending at large companies is constrained as the economy normalizes and small and medium businesses recover. An interesting point is our Bank of America Institute analysis just noted that we may be seeing the beginnings of a recovery for small and medium business hiring and spending. And actually, small business employment is now growing faster than overall job growth. This is a good sign for a recovery in broad software demand. Adding AI spend to the mix probably doesn't move the needle today because it's so small in this constrained environment. However, looking out over the next few years, it's likely that even if company tech spending goes up by its normal rate, AI spending is likely to grow faster, thereby eating into other projects that don't offer the same sort of return or productivity.
Okay, and Alkesh, last question. How do you expect AI to alter the financial or economic landscape over the next 1 year and then further out over the next 5 to 10?
Historically, technology disruption tends to be overestimated in the short term, meaning people expect things to change faster than they actually do. But the magnitude of tech disruption tends to be underestimated over the long term. Past disruptive technologies have historically reached mainstream adoption after 15 to 30 years. But again, it's only been 15 months for this new wave of AI. Generative AI, which is putting powerful intelligence and insights into the hands of everyone. Gen AI leverages all the massive computing power that the semi industry has created over the last 50 years and all information available everywhere. We've never had access to this before. As I mentioned, we're only in 1995 relative to the internet. In 95, it would have been nearly impossible to imagine all the applications that were going to be created over the next 25 years. And I expect AI to be as disruptive to both the financial and economic landscape as the internet. But like the internet, it's almost impossible to imagine all of the applications and implications of what we're going to be doing and using over the next 10 years.
Okay, Alkesh, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, TJ.
Semiconductor and server companies will likely benefit from AI spend for years as different organizations and even governments build and train models. That's similar to the early days of the internet when hardware benefited as the infrastructure was built out. But ultimately, many of the big winners of the explosion in internet growth were software-based companies that didn't even exist at the start, or if they did, the boost to revenues was still a ways off. Still, there are companies today, like those offering cloud services, that would seem to be advantaged as they do have so much data and are able to offer AI services to every industry as a result. Thanks for joining.
Bank of America and B of A Securities are the marketing names for the global banking businesses and global markets businesses, which includes B of A Global Research of Bank of America Corporation. Lending, derivatives, and other commercial banking activities are performed globally by banking affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including Bank of America N.A., member FDIC. Securities, trading, research, strategic advisory, and other investment banking and markets activities are performed globally by affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including in the United States, B of A Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC, and in other jurisdictions by locally registered entities. Copyright 2024 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.